First Peter 4, this portion may be of great interest to you or of no interest to you, and if you've never tried to understand it, it won't mean as much to you as if you have, but as I told you last week, I will give you what I take to be the interpretation of it, and remember again that if you interpret a biblical passage, be sure that the interpretation you give is not a contradiction of any other true interpretation, plain interpretation of the Word of God. So what I will tell you tonight will not contradict anything else, but it may be a little different from what we ordinarily hear. So let's read in 1 Peter chapter 4 and look at verse 4. Peter has spoken about the carousings and the gross sins that the world commits, but that the Christians have turned away from. And it says in verse 4, the world, wherein they think it strange, that you run not with them into the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. So here is the picture. There are some sinners that have been saved out from among sinners, and now that they're saved, they are not committing the sins they used to commit. And those with whom they used to associate still commit these sins, and they think it strange that those that are saved run not with them to the same excess of riot. That's one thing. But then they speak evil of the ones that have gotten saved. But this is what it says in verse 5. Who shall give account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead. So some people that hear the gospel remain lost. Some become Christians. And what happens is in the case of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, he preached the gospel and some believe and some do not believe. But then the Jews that did not believe not only rejected the truth, but they sent from town to town to cause Paul to stop preaching the gospel, and then they even had him stoned to the point of death on one occasion. At times they speak evil of you, and at times they do you injury. And this is what has happened. But you must often wonder, why would God allow those that are His, that have accepted the truth, to be cursed and to be stoned, and the ones that rejected the truth, why are they allowed to injure those that are truly God's children? This is what the first epistle of Peter brings before us. It speaks about the just suffering for the unjust. It speaks about our suffering for righteousness' sake, our suffering for the gospel's sake, and our suffering for Christ's sake. And God allows it. Simply understand as to why we just heard that the proof of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, may be found unto praise and honor and glory when the Lord Jesus comes back. So there are reasons, but what happens here is that it seems as if the world has defeated us and that they may curse us with impunity. They can get away with it. They can stone us and get away with it. But look what verse 5 says. It says, those that treat us that way shall give an account to him that is ready to judge the living and the dead. And so they're going to have to give an account. Every man who has ever heard the gospel of the grace of God and has rejected that gospel has to give an account. And everyone who curses, and the word speaking evil is the word blaspheme. They speak strongly against the ones whose lives are changed and who try to witness to them. And it says they have to give an account. why they did not trust Christ as Savior, and also why they speak evil of those that are giving you the gospel. Why should I speak evil about someone who loves me and is trying to do me good? And yet that's what they're doing. But do not think that they're going to escape. They have to give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. All right. What Peter does so often, and in a similar way John does, a subject will be taken up, and when you come to the end of a subject, it brings to mind another subject that's similar. And in like manner, you have certain words that Peter uses, and he will mention a word, and then that word makes him think of something else similar to that word. He just said, God is ready to judge the living and the dead. And then he starts in verse 6 about the gospel being preached even to the dead. You see, he mentions the dead, and he preaches, he speaks of the gospel that was preached to the dead. You say, I understand why that would startle someone, because who ever heard of the gospel being preached to the dead? Well, let me tell you this. Did you know that I preached the gospel to my dead mother? But I did not preach it to her when she was dead. I preached the gospel to her while she was alive. But the way I put it, I preached the gospel to my dead mother. If you will look over this epistle, you'll find that it is speaking of living and dead over and over again. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 3. Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, there he's dead, but made alive in the spirit, there is life. You have the living and the dead. You have death and you have life. And when Peter says that there is going to be a judgment of the living and the dead, then he speaks about other dead ones. I take it that in verse 5, he's speaking of the living and dead unbelievers. Why? Because it says, they shall give an account who speak evil of you. And the one to whom they're going to give an account is the one who's ready to judge the living and the dead. So, the judgment is not going to exclude those who have died. Some people think this. They think that those like Stalin and Hitler and Saddam Hussein, who is still alive, they think that if he lives and he is punished, then justice is served. But many of them think that when they die, they have escaped punishment. But that's not it at all. That's why it says that there is going to be a judgment of the living and the dead. It speaks in Timothy about some men's sins are handled now, and some men's sins are going to be handled in the future. And for this very fact, living and dead, it has upset some of the children of God because they thought that the Christians who trusted the Savior and they were expecting him to return at any time, that if they were alive when he returned, they would enter into all the blessings that he had promised. But if they had died, they had missed out on all those blessings. Paul shows that this is an incorrect thought in 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'm taking it that here the same thought concerns those that are dead in verse 6. You have living and dead ones in verse 5, the ones who heard the gospel, who hated those that preached it, and spoke evil against them. But in verse 6, you have those who were living and heard the gospel, and some of those are still alive, but some of them are dead, and so the gospel was preached to the dead. When it was preached, they were living, and even though they are dead, it says they're going to live according to God in the Spirit. Now, I will give you this. Think. Christ put to death in the flesh, made alive in the Spirit. Now here it speaks about judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. So what you have to do, and this is why it's so difficult, is because what does it mean? It says, for this end was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they might be judged indeed according to men in the flesh. What does it mean that they may be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit? I can understand the gospel being preached that they might live according to God in the Spirit, but what about this first part, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh? I take it that it sets before us a truth concerning even those that hear the gospel and believe, that this judgment that is spoken of is one of three kinds of judgment. And this is why you must listen. Do you realize that you're born under the judgment of God? It was said to Adam, you are dust, and you're going to return to dust. And then Paul tells us what that means. For as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all sin. Notice, death passed upon all men, and even though you trust Christ as Savior, that initial judgment pronounced by God is not going to be escaped. Two have escaped it. Enoch did, and Elijah did. And if we are living when Christ comes, we shall escape it. But the judgment was pronounced, and turn to Romans 5. I want you to see this, because this is the same root word that's spoken of, that they might be judged, the judgment. But I want you to see these words and read them. Chapter 5, and look at verse 12. Therefore, as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam unto Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the likeness of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. But not as the trespass, so also is the free gift. For if the trespass of the one, the many die, much more did the grace of God and the gift of grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound unto the many. And not as through one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment, now here is that same root word, for the judgment came of one unto condemnation. So here is one of the judgments that's spoken of. Because of one man, Adam, it says, the judgment came of condemnation. And what is that condemnation? It says, death passed upon all men. That judgment is the condemnation of death. Now, keeping that in mind, inasmuch as men have the gospel preached to them, that first judgment was pronounced in Genesis chapter 3 is still in force. And unless you are Enoch or Elijah or Christ comes, you are going to die. And that judgment, even though you've heard the gospel, you believed it, you served God faithfully, you're going to die. And that's what I take that first judgment to be. So look at verse 6. Even though he's telling us two things, and I'll translate it so you'll be able to understand it better, fitting in with what I tell you I believe it means. Verse 6, in Peter 4. For unto this end, for this reason, this is why the gospel was preached even to those that are now dead, that though they may be judged according to men in the spirit, yet they shall live according to God in the spirit. Make that flesh in the first one. That though judged according to men in the flesh, they are going to live according to God in the spirit. Inasmuch as you see throughout this epistle and throughout the New Testament, the quick and the dead, the living and the dead, here it speaks about living and dying. I take these dead to be those who heard the gospel, became believers, but they died. And that's how Paul or Peter can say, this is why the gospel is preached to the dead. Even though they died, even though the judgment that was pronounced upon Adam and all men has to be experienced by them, still, they're going to live according to God in the Spirit. So, you have man in flesh under the judgment of God, and that judgment is death. But if they have believed the gospel, thank God for this. God is going to impart life to them, and they're going to live according to God in the Spirit. And this is how it could give encouragement to those to whom Peter is writing. Now, listen to this in 1 Thessalonians 4. It says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep. Here are the dead. They are dead believers. The gospel was preached to them when they were alive, and they believed it, but now they've died. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them that fall asleep, that you sorrow not, even as the others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, and rose again, even so them also that sleep in Jesus shall God bring with him. And instead of missing out because they've died, it says that when Christ descends from heaven with a shout, it says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. So, if a man comes to you, and you're preaching the gospel, and he says, do you promise me that if I believe in this gospel, I shall escape death? I can say, I can promise you that you shall escape eternal death. But I cannot promise you that you shall escape physical death. There is the hope, the possibility you made, because we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye. The dead in Christ shall be raised, and then we that are alive shall be changed. Yes, I can promise you that there is the possibility that you shall not die according to the flesh, but I cannot promise you that. But one thing I can promise you is that even if you die, even though he be dead, yet shall he live. And then spiritually, you'll never die. That's the only promise I can give you. And this is what Peter is saying. No matter how great a gospel preacher is, no matter if he is the apostle Peter, if he comes and preaches you the gospel, he can only give you so much hope for this life. He has to acknowledge that whereas the gospel will take care of you eternally in the future, if you're sick now, if you're suffering, God promises you that he'll give you a new body. When that Savior comes back from heaven, he shall change your vile body, your body of humiliation, and it shall be conformed to the body of his glory. But all of these things are future, but you're not going to escape death. And so, look at the two things again now in verse 4-6, and keeping those in mind, think of it that way as I read it. For, unto this end was the gospel preached to the dead, that they might be judged indeed according to men in the flesh, but even though they are, they shall live according to God in the Spirit. So in the flesh, They're going to die. But thank God they're going to be raised from the dead and have a resurrected, glorified, spiritual body. And God is going to do that. He is the one that's going to bring to pass the promise of Jesus Christ, who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, a little bit about the judgment of God, because I want you to see that some of the judgments that he speaks about are inherited when you are born. I told you that the pronouncement upon Adam in Genesis 3, Paul tells us in Romans 5, is passed unto all men. You are born with that judgment. This is what it says in Hebrews 9:27. It is appointed unto men once to die. And even if you hear the gospel and believe it, it is appointed unto men once to die. You're going to die unless something special happens. And it says, after this, the judgment. But now, look in chapter 4. I want you to see this in verse 17. It says, for the time is come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins first with us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? So, there is not only the judgment that you are born with, even if you become a Christian, there is the discipline, the judgment, the trial, and that goes on in this life. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 11. I will simply bring it to your attention. It says that some came to the Lord's Supper, and they were judged because of their sin. And so that's a judgment that takes place in this life. And it says, if we judged ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, it says, we are judged that we might not be condemned with the world. So even though we're God's children, because we are, we do not escape God's dealing with us. Instead, it's more severe. And it says, this judgment must begin with the house of God. But now, if we who have trusted Christ as Savior and are loved by the Father do not escape the things we do in the flesh in this life, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel? If God deals with us whom he loves, who have trusted his Son, what shall be done with those who never trusted his Son, who died in their sins? And that is the frightening question that Peter asks at the bottom part of chapter 4 of 1 Peter. So this is the way I look at it, that it speaks about judge, ready to judge the living and the dead. One additional thought. I tell you that there is judgment in this life, but it says in Hebrews 9:27, but after death, the judgment. And there is another judgment after death. So there's a judgment upon you when you are born. When you trust Christ as Savior, there will be judgment, discipline throughout your life. And when you die, there will be judgment again. It's appointed unto them once to die, but after this, the judgment. But I'm so thankful that for us who are God's children, that judgment is we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. And so the whole life of God's creatures is one of judgment. From the very first throughout the life, death is a judgment. And then after death, there was another judgment. But the difference is this. The horror of Revelation 20, in contrast to the judgment seat of Christ, is that if we have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, if we, in 2 Corinthians 5 and in 1 Corinthians 3, when we are judged, it says, some of us, when we appear before God, are going to be tested according to fire, and what we've done is like wood, hay, and stubble, and nothing will be left but ashes. But it says, we shall be saved so as by fire. Thank God There can be sorrow at the judgment seat of Christ because of a wasted life, the sins that we've committed. But thank God we'll be saved. And then we'll go into heaven, and joy on our head will be for everlasting. But the horror of Revelation chapter 20 is that if any man's name is not found written in the book of life, it says he's cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. And so that's the difference in man being after death, the judgment. The death of believers at the judgment seat of Christ, and the death of unbelievers in Revelation 20, cast into the lake of fire. But one other thing, this judgment, I haven't completed it yet. It says he's ready to judge the dead and the living. Some, when our Savior comes back, are going to be alive. They have not died and been raised, but they are alive, and they are going to stand before Christ, because it says in Matthew 25, the king shall sit upon his throne, and he shall say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. But he'll say to them on his left hand, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So think, here is a judgment of the living. Understand, that judgment is when Christ comes back to establish his earthly kingdom. Those that are living shall be judged then, and also the place that we as believers are going to occupy in the kingdom of God, that shall be judged then. The living, and then after death, the judgment, there is another judgment as well. So remember, the judge, the living, but even if they died before, they haven't escaped the judgment. After death, the judgment. So here is the hope that Peter is giving. Yes, they may suffer, they may be blasphemed, they may be hated, but they are suffering for righteousness' sake. Yes, you are a Christian, but you're going to get sick, you're going to die, you're going to be a martyr the way Stephen was and James was. Yes, the judgment according to the flesh, after the manner of men, but I promise you that eventually you will live according to God in the Spirit. So these are some thoughts about the judgment that's taken up in the book of Peter. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are so glad that while we are not going to escape the common lot of man, we understand now when we say that, we are glad that though we are not going to escape it, yet we are going to be saved, we are going to be eternally with Christ, and that's part of the gospel that's preached, our Father, that we who are dead, the ones who are dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and shall come forth as a light everlasting. We are so thankful for that, our Father. But we are thankful also that you've told us that we cannot expect complete exemption from suffering and death in this world, but we have a glorious future. So let us take these things to heart and understand about judgment and be willing to rejoice in it, Father, that though we're going to be judged according to men after the flesh, yet, Father, we're going to live according to God in the Spirit. So bless these truths to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. Reading is open.